What up, player profiler faithful? It's Matty Kiwan. Welcome to the latest episode of The Game Plan. Today's episode is getting a bit spooky as Halloween is just a few days away. We are talking about the players who have been treats for us fantasy managers, but soon they'll be tricking us, aka some must sell players in your fantasy leagues. And as always, me and my guests will be jumping into the bargain bin to highlight some of the players that you can start and rely on to get some wins if you're in some desperate situation. So ladies and gents, get out your pens and your pads and let's start game planning to get those week 8 dubs. Planners, I am so very excited for today's guest. Not only is he a fantastic fantasy analyst, he's actually a really, really good dude. And to be honest, I don't know if I would be hosting the game plan right here today if it wasn't for his kind words of encouragement a few years ago. He reached out on Twitter, and it's meant a ton as I've stayed the old grind happening here in fantasy sports. Everyone, you remember him from his days here at Player Profile, but now he's killing it as a director of fantasy and betting over at the 33rd Team. You can also check out a bunch of his shows on the 33rd Team Podcast Network. Ladies, gentlemen, please give it up for the one and only Josh Larkey.
Matty, thank you. I'm excited for this. It's good to be here. I remember reaching out a couple years ago, and I was like,
yes, sir.
You're doing some good work out there, so... Yeah, you were. I'm trying to remember who recommended you to me, but someone recommended you, and they're like, "You should keep an eye on this guy." And then I was checking out your stuff, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this guy's pretty sharp." I remember reaching out to Matt, and I was like, "The Podfather," and I was like, "You know, you should check this guy out. He's got a smooth voice. He's got some good analysis." I was like, "This guy was kind of made for podcasting."
Yeah, this is actually our second time doing a show together. You came on a previous show that I did 2 years ago, I want to say now at this point. Cuban Jones with my man Chris Jones. It was a lot of fantasy football talk. You were nice enough to come on there. And I'll always remember this because the way you worded this, the message to me on Twitter was, sometimes it feels like you're screaming into the void. And I was like, yo. Because at the time, I might have had 300 followers. It felt like no interactions. It literally felt like I was in a void just trying to scream fantasy football takes. So I just want to say thank you for the words of encouragement. It meant a lot, and it's kept kind of ignited the flame that has kept the old train going here. But this is your first time on the game plan. Very excited to have you on. It's a big week here. A lot of teams, especially in these redraft leagues, they may be looking to pack it in. You know, this might be a do or die week for them to win. And in dynasty leagues, of course, these are the weeks that, you know, we're in the trenches here. We've got no bye week, so you should have a full roster unless you're worried about injuries. But we are going to talk about the bargain bin to get you those wins this week. And then Josh and I are going to talk about some trick-or-treat players. So let's dive into that, Josh. Who is a player that's been a treat for us here in fantasy, but now it's time to get rid of them because it's about to be tricking us?
Let's just start off with an easy one. Low-hanging fruit. We'll pluck it and get it out of the way. Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson was awesome to start the year through 2 weeks. He was averaging over 20 fantasy points a game. We love that. We love that he's been scoring touchdowns at a decent clip. But 2 weeks ago, I looked at the box score and was like, oh, well, Chris Rodriguez getting 4 carries. And then last week, Chris Rodriguez had nearly as many carries as Brian Robinson. Antonio Gibson's the one that's running the most routes on the team. Ultimately, the Commanders offense is not one that we're all particularly excited about. It is right. You kind of need to be an elite offense to ever be able to support the dreaded three-way running back committee. And we do not like this three-way running back committee that is now brewing. Brian Robinson at this point looks like he is splitting between the 20s work and splitting some potential goal line work. Sell. Bad offensive line. I don't know what we're doing at this point. I don't think anyone out there wants this guy, but I think one strategy I try and do is buy high and sell low, because everyone's always like, you need to like buy low and sell high. And I'm like, well, that doesn't really work. And you're not going to be like, oh, like, let me offload this player who sucks. And someone's going to be like, oh, I love this guy. But ultimately, I just think Brian Robinson has still a little bit of value. And I've got some spicier names coming up after this, but that's an easy one. He's got a little value. Sell him before there is no value.
Supported back-to-back weeks on touchdowns. Right. So you might have a chance to still offload him for a decent amount, a decent return, I'd say. But Josh, isn't it fitting that, you know, Ron Rivera brings in another Brian Robinson, just your typical plotter, to push his plotter out of the way when you have a race car, Antonio Gibson, just waiting there? And they're like, you know what? We need 2.5 yards in a cloud of dust. We need that. I just have one follow-up question for you. With the swirling hot seat rumors surrounding Ron Rivera. If he was fired and Bieniemy was lifted to that head coach, do you think there would be a drastic change in this offense, or would they have to kind of stick to what they've game planned because they're in the middle of the season?
I generally, when stuff like this happens, there are switches. That's one thing that I'm not very good at. I think most of us are pretty bad at knowing
it's tough
what the actual switch will be, unless we get some like tangible coach speak. So I'm not going to postulate on what exactly would happen with the running back room, but a change wouldn't surprise me. So if Ron Rivera were ousted, it would actually make me more interested in Brian Robinson, on Antonio Gibson, Chris Rodriguez, just because if we saw some kind of usage change, that could elevate them. So in a weird way, like him getting fired, I'd be like, oh, give me all three at this point. But I don't really know what that would be. I think all of us in the fantasy community are like, let's get some more pass work for Antonio Gibson. Like,
that's all we want.
Factored like six touches in space every game through the passing. But
Oh my God. I'm not going to get into Antonio Gibson because I still love him. But I will get into my first sell. This player has definitely been a treat for us. Matter of fact, he's been running back two overall, running back four on a points per game basis. It's Raheem Mostert. Believe it or not, I'm looking to sell at the peak, especially in my redrafters. All you redrafters out there that are looking, it's tougher sometimes to make trades, and that this is a player that will be coveted because of how many fantasy points he scored in these type of leagues. He's been hyper efficient, but maybe a little too efficient because there's really no volume to sink your teeth into. He's 20th in carries, 28th in opportunity share, and he's really not really been a member of the passing game. He's 21st in RB target share, 22nd in RB route participation rate. So there's really not a lot of pass game work that he could lay on. What it's been is a ton of touchdowns, 11 or 12 touchdowns. Either way, it's a career high for him already. And I don't think that the Dolphins really have a cupcake season. It's not really tough for opposing running backs, but it's not easy by any stretch. 31 and a half years old, he has battled injuries. It just feels like now is the time to take Mostert, take all these touchdowns, all these fantasy points, and say, give me, you know, it might feel like 85 cents on the dollar, might feel like 90 cents on the dollar, but at the end of the day, I think that this value could come crashing down. So I'm trying to sell me some Raheem Mostert. What do you any thoughts on Mostert or the Dolphins backfield as it kind of is going to keep changing with Wilson coming back and A-Chain on the around the corner?
Yeah, the two I want are Jeff Wilson and Devon A-Chain. Mostert, 31 years old. Getting a heavy workload. One thing we know from his long career is that it's been a long career without a lot of actual touches because he can't stay healthy. He's a tiny running back. So given that he seems to be the most expensive, pretty inclined to sell him when I actually think he has the hardest path at this point to giving you fantasy points in the playoffs. He's basically getting used up right now. And A-Chan is going to be fresher. Jeff Wilson's going to be fresher. So I'm with you.
I like that. Yeah, I like that call on playoffs because if he does stay healthy, the wind down may catch up to him by the time that you need the most to get into the playoffs or the fantasy playoffs in general. We have a few more players that we're going to talk about here in the trick or treat segment of the show. But before we do, let's hear about Sleeper.
Hey, we're all starting new fantasy leagues all the time. And more often than not, where do we start our fantasy leagues at Player Profiler? On Sleeper. Because it's the best. You can imagine my excitement when I saw Sleeper rolled out. Sleeper picks, baby. And game stacking is the path to positive returns with these pick 'em games. Find that sneaky shootout and set most of the players to go over their projection for that week. Or you find a game going to get dragged into the mud and take every member of the passing game for less than their projections that week. And if you pick up to 8, that's how you 100x your payout on Sleeper. It's called the Hail Mary. So if you use promo code Underworld, you get a $100 instant deposit match. Check out Sleeper's terms and conditions for details. These Sleeper picks are live in over 25 states. Yeah, buddy.
Game plan here. Matty Kiwum joined by the great Josh Larkey. We're talking about some trick or treat players. So, Josh, what's the next player that's going to be a trick in a couple weeks? We got to trade him now.
So I've got three more running backs for the good people, and I think we should get a spicy one out there, or two more running backs for the good people and a receiver. We'll get the spiciest one out there, maybe. It might be Tony Pollard. Is that spicy? Is that not spicy? Tony Pollard
is forcing. The spicy meat the ball. It's pretty spicy.
So let's start with what Pollard does really well. Pollard is really good at getting volume this year. Yeah. 16 carries a game, over 4 receptions a game. If anyone wants me to do the math, that's more than 20 touches per game, more than 20 touches. This was a college wide receiver. He is not built like a running back. He's a little tall and lanky, and he's taking a lot of contact. Obviously, come on, Josh. Of course he's taking contact. He's getting 20 touches a game. Well, it's not just that he's taking contact. It's that he's taking more contact than he ever has in the past per touch. And on top of that, he's getting a lot more touches than he's ever had. He's forcing missed tackles at 1/3 the rate of last year. If you look at tackles avoided, broken, where he's juking a guy, if you're looking at broken tackles, ultimately he's forcing them about 1/3 of the time that he was last season. And not only does that hurt the big play upside, it's why he's getting so many touches, but the fantasy points haven't quite been there. This is a massive injury risk. I don't want my running back, who's a little undersized, getting 20 touches a game and not breaking off big runs, not having big plays, not missing big defenders contact. Tony Pollard, sell. I mean, some people out there are like, that's not enough. All right, guys, we'll pull out the extra trump card. Week 17 against the Lions. I do not like that matchup. Lions run defense has been awesome. Their overall defense has been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You'll obviously be starting him that week, but I think expecting more than like 10 to 12 fantasy points from Tony Pollard in the fantasy playoffs, probably a pretty tall task. Tony Pollard, sell.
Oh, that's a great call. The return on a Tony Pollard, I think right now could be league winning. This could be a turning point where you've used Tony Pollard pretty successfully up to this point, but for all the reasons you've mentioned, I mean, he's on pace for his busiest campaign of his career by a long shot. So Tony Pollard, sell. And now that you mentioned the week 17 correlation, I do have a number of best ball rosters that was built along that Detroit Dallas barn burner that now seems like it could be more of a slugfest, more of a grind them out.
I got that wrong too. Yeah, I was very optimistic this summer about that matchup, and now I'm like, oh, that's gonna be a defensive battle.
And of course, it's more Pollard and Amon-Ra than it is CD and Gibbs. So if that's not the combination I want with Detroit's run D and how good Deron Bland has been, and he'll be the corner on Amon-Ra. Okay. I've just made myself sad, but let's get back to some other stuff. Let's get back to the players that we're telling here. You said you have another receiver. I also have a receiver. So two receivers that are worth selling. Get out now. Mine is Adam Thielen, currently wide receiver 6 on a points per game basis, wide receiver 7 overall. He's been a volume king. There's no denying it. He has just been Bryce Young's binky through and through, getting all of the volume. Rookie quarterback, he tends to lean on somebody, some vet. Sometimes tight end, sometimes slot receiver, sometimes not. Definitely the slot receiver this year with Adam Thielen. But when you look at some of his underlying metrics, it doesn't paint a picture of guaranteed future success, because he's 37th in air yard share, 24th in yards per out run. A pretty good marker, but it's a far cry from his fantasy output right now. He's 19th in team yards per team pass attempt, 15th in fantasy points per route run, and 31st in target separation. So these are good, but they're not top 8 wide receiver good. So I'm taking him. I'm moving off from Adam Thielen. And then again, same reason that we talked about from Mostert, 31.5. He's 33. You know, we all kind of left him for dead just a handful of months ago in draft season. He's been a beast, but now it's time to cash in. Don't get greedy. He's been a treat for us. Don't let him trick you in a few weeks. So any thoughts on Thielen or the Carolina offense as a whole?
I'm actually just kind of curious to see what the game plan looks like, how everything goes after the bye.
Yeah.
One thing that we always see, especially with these young rosters, is things can shake up pretty dramatically after the bye. So if I had to guess, someone like a Jonathan Mingo, probably going to be a little more involved. Someone like an Adam Thielen, potentially a little bit less. Adam Thielen, obviously not a long-term part of the whatever the success plan is, success plan for the 0-6 Panthers. So I'm with you.
Yeah. Success is in the most sarcastic of sayings, the success plan. I got to ask you, and this is not in the show sheet, so it is completely coming out of left field, but I'd love to get your take on this, because I don't know where to, lean. I don't know which side to lean on. Is it going to be Miles Sanders or Chuba Hubbard out of the bye?
I think Miles Sanders gets the first crack. You don't pay a guy that much money not to give him the first crack, but I do think that Chuba has looked better, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, he has. So, Chuba had a great game without Miles Sanders.
Very good game, yeah.
But I agree with you. I just think that Miles Sanders is at least going to get a chance, first and foremost, to make his mark. And he's been running routes, which is very encouraging. So we'll see. But there's a lot. The drumbeat for Chuba is getting louder and louder, and the stats are starting to back it up more and more. So it's just one of those situations that, man, this week will tell us a whole lot when it comes to that backfield. Josh, you have another wide receiver that people need to be selling right now. Who is that wide receiver? Mm-hmm.
You want me to do the receiver first and then my last running back? Is that how we're going to do it?
We can do it that way. Yeah, we'll do it that way. Absolutely.
We'll go to I'm going to sell Christian Watson. Jordan Love has a 57% completion rate this year. We don't like that. This is a team that wants the offense to flow through the running backs. They haven't really been healthy. They're going to be healthy soon. Aaron Jones is getting close, it seems, to being back to 100%. Christian Watson kind of has a lot of target competition. Romeo Dobbs has been better than expected. Yeah. Jaden Reed has also been quite good for a rookie. He was someone that I comped to like a Deontay Johnson light during the draft process. And so far he looks like that potentially a pretty high target earner per route. And then even Luke Musgrave didn't play much in college because he was always injured, but you know what? He's been healthy enough so far this year, commanding targets at a decent rate. So already it's a quarterback we don't like in Jordan Love, who's not completing passes. You're supposed to complete passes as a quarterback. Some target competition. Team wants to flow through the run game. There's no more David Bakhtiari. So the O-line is not what it quite was earlier in the season. Jordan Love needs a lot of time to throw to be able to hit someone like a Christian Watson downfield. Love's air yards per pass attempt was in the top three for the first half of this half of the season. And then the past month, Jordan Love's air yards per attempt has been in the bottom half among starting quarterbacks. All this is telling me that we should be selling Christian Watson.
You mentioned it a few minutes ago that you don't mind selling low, because this feels like a player whose value has depressed over the past few months. So you may be selling at a low point here. And this is a good example of getting out even at a low point, because these are sometimes the most opportunistic like exit ramps when it comes to player rostering a player. Like you said, they B-Rob, if he puts up 2.5 fantasy points this Sunday, good luck selling B-Rob.
Yes.
So you need to get these exit ramps and take them when you can. Christian Watson, I still think, has enough cachet to move away. If you trade a Christian Watson, are you expecting how much of a return are you expecting? And you have to give me names specifically because that's kind of more in the weeds. But just is it like a package of a running back and a wide receiver, just a equivalent producing running back? What route should the Planters take if they're selling Christian Watson?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Every week I put out rest of season rankings and a trade value chart. Some other guys that I have in the same tier as Christian Watson. I have Watson at the bottom of this tier, but some names that I would switch for: T. Higgins. I think potentially brighter days ahead for him. Would definitely rather bet on the Bengals offense than the Packers pass game. Let's see, Deontay Johnson. I think that's another one where I think a lot of people out there would still rather have Watson. And I'd say, you know what? I'll just take Deontay Johnson at this point, especially if it's a PPR format. And then one more name, we'll go with Chris Godwin. I think that's comparable enough value. And as crazy as it sounds, like I'd rather bet on a Baker Mayfield offense that's hyper-condensed to Evans, Godwin, Rashad White, as opposed to this Packers one that's got two running backs and four receiving options with Jordan Love at the helm.
And a bunch of guys that are still kind of vying for their roles. They're trying to really carve out their roles. There's still a lot of questions to be answered in that offense. That makes a whole lot of sense. I love the names you're bringing up. Deontay Johnson, 12 points in his return. I think he is set to be exactly who we thought he was going to be. So what's this running back you got? Who are we selling at running back?
This is actually, you know what? This might be more surprising than Tony Pollard. I don't feel as strongly about Pollard or about this player as Pollard. So Pollard, I was like, I feel very strongly he's a sell. Yeah. This player is a moderate sell, probably. Well, we'll talk about like when you should sell him. But I'm kind of leaning towards selling Jahmyr Gibbs. Crazy, right? I love Jahmyr Gibbs. You probably love Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs was the RB3 last week in fantasy, 27 PPR points a game. But let's grab the shovel out. We're going to grab the shovel. We're digging in to last week. The awesome Detroit Lions defense ceded 28 points to the Ravens by halftime. And oh boy, does Jahmyr Gibbs like that game script. 28-0 and a half. That is the perfect game script for Jahmyr Gibbs. He had some carries. He did have a rush and touchdown. Good for him. But 10 targets. He caught 9 of them. That is how you get so many fantasy points. David Montgomery probably coming back in week 9. This is the week to sell Gibbs before Montgomery returns. I don't think the Lions are going to be getting blown out 28-0 very often. This is probably like literally the only game this year that game script happens. Feels like it was the outlier game for Detroit in the best way possible for Jahmyr Gibbs. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is top 20 running back rest of season. I think many out there think that he's closer to top 10 than top 20. And if someone in your league is thinking that, then by all means, let's sell Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, this is more of a redraft move. You're not selling in Dynasty.
No, this is purely for redraft.
Right. That's exactly. That's just want to clarify that for anyone who took him second.
No, we're not selling in your drafts.
Yes. Just trying to come. Yes, that's exactly. Just want to clarify it for everyone watching. But I kind of like this idea because I want to get excited for Gibbs. But game script was a big reason that we saw him used as we did. In temper your expectations. Remember the game against Atlanta in week 3. No David Montgomery. It was the Jahmyr Gibbs show. He had a 60% snap share. He had 17 carries, 9.2 fantasy points. He was running back 24 that week. Good, not great.
Yeah, they don't want to use him in the pass game unless they have to.
They have to, exactly. And the Raiders, I think that the Lions could strangle out the Raiders on Monday Night Football. I don't think this is going to be a big game. This is a pretty lopsided affair in favor of the Lions. More on that matchup. We'll get into that when we get into the bargain bid. But sell Jahmyr Gibbs now. Oh, that's good. And it's, you got an extra day. You know, you got an extra day. They play on Monday Night Football. You have 2 days. Make a trade. What does the trade chart tell you? Who are you moving it for?
So right now I'm looking at some guys that I think I'd probably move him for. If someone's valuing him closer to this top 10-ish level, I think there's a few people out there that would prefer him to Montgomery. I think you can just hot swap him if someone out there thinks that. Crazy as it sounds, I think I'd rather have Isaiah Pacheco, who's been an absolute bell cow for the Chiefs this year.
That's a move I think.
And he hasn't quite had a massive game yet, but the usage has been incredible. The Chiefs' offense looks better. So, yeah, we'll go with – those are a couple names right there where I think I'd be like, hey, I will take that player instead of Mr. Jahmyr Gibbs. I think Gibbs, much better dynasty asset than redraft asset right now.
Makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot to use him for in the game plan that they don't unless they have to, like you mentioned. So we got a bunch of sell candidates. We're selling a bunch of running backs here. We're selling Mostert. Get him off your roster now. We're selling Pollard. We're selling B-Rob. And we're selling Jahmyr Gibbs. And that wide receiver, we're selling Christian Watson and Adam Thielen. Get these guys off your roster. They've been treats. We've loved them so far. They've been awesome for us, but pretty soon they're going to be tricks. So you got to get rid of them before it's too late. Now let's move over to the bargain bin. This is what the game planners tuned in for. These are the names that you can find in the bottom of the barrel that are available in more than 50% of leagues out there that you can add, start, and hopefully get you a week 8 dub. So at quarterback, Josh, who is your bargain bin pick for week 8?
So under 50% rostered on Yahoo was Sam Howell. The Eagles are allowing the 10th most fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. So already we're like, okay, like that's probably a good matchup. Howell's been just solid for fantasy in general. And I think he's a great streamer this week. The reason I say streamer and not this is a bona fide quarterback one is ultimately the Eagles have a great pass rush. Sam Howell's on pace to take 20 more sacks than any quarterback has ever taken in NFL history. So I think it's gonna be a rough game. Hopefully he doesn't get injured in this one. I think in some ways Howell looks a little bit like a redraft sell or a dynasty sell. I actually think like he has like a little bit of potential to be the long-term starter, but he's going to have to change how he plays in some form. You cannot lead the NFL in sacks year after year after year. You cannot lead history in sacks. It's on pace for in the 90s.
Somewhere on pace for David mid-90s. Carr is like,
David Carr has the NFL record for sacks taken in a season. It was 76. Howell's on pace for 20 more than that. That is terrifying. But I think for this week, he's got the Eagles – where the Eagles pass defense just hasn't been quite as good as it was last year. And I think this O-line is going to get swarmed. The Washington O-line won't be able to contain the Eagles pass rush. But ultimately, I think Howell can get it done purely through volume. I think we're going to be looking at 40 pass attempts from him here.
That's what we need here in the bargain bin. We need volume. We need guys out there slinging it and touchdowns. That's what comes with the opportunities. You got to throw it to throw the touchdown. My bargain bin quarterback this week is Derek Carr. He's quarterback 17 on playerprofiler.com. He's rostered in about 20% ESPN, 36 on Sleeper. So he's pretty widely available in your one QB formats. The matchup, the Saints are 1.5 point favorites. They're giving 1.5 points on the road. Which is surprising. I wasn't expecting that given how competent the Colts have looked with Gardner Minshew. 43.5 over under, that's about middle of the slate. So nothing really there that's exciting. But Indy itself, middle of the road matchup. So overall, this really isn't a matchup play for me. This is more of Carr's been surprisingly decent lately for fantasy football. He's been QB 15 or better three weeks in a row. He's been QB 10 or better in back-to-back weeks. In those games, he threw over 300 yards in each of those affairs. And I was at the Saints game in New Orleans, and I streamed him in a different league, and I was sitting there like, what a dumb freaking move, dude. You blew it. And I looked at my phone. I said, oh, shit, he's got 21 points. He's not bad. This is not bad. He kind of just clogged his way there. And a lot of that comes because the Saints will let him chuck the ball. Josh, they don't care. They let him throw it. Mm-hmm. He's fourth in air yards, first in deep ball attempts, and he's just out there chucking. He has a volume. We talked about a lot of volume this week for Sam Howell. I think a lot of the same for Derek Carr, who's sixth in pass attempts, sixth in red zone attempts. And the I almost said Raiders, own Freudian slip there. The Saints are third in team pass plays per game. So they're chucking. He has not been accurate, though. That is the danger. Mm-hmm. Howell, it's the sacks. Derek Carr, it's the inaccuracy. He's been horribly inaccurate. Horrible deep ball percentage. Really, really bad at completing those passes deep. But I think a little bit might have to do with the injury, right? I'm hoping it's the shoulder. Mm-hmm. We're another week removed. Another week of full practices. He should be getting healthier. And a guy who has not been horribly inaccurate throughout his career, he's been, you know, middle of the league. And I think he can get back to that. And with mm-hmm. that, the volume and the weapons, he could be someone that becomes more of just a one-week streamer. I'm using him this week as my streamer of the week in week 8, but I'm also rostering him for any team that I have Pat Mahomes in one QB. Go get him now because he has at Minnesota week 10 when Patrick Mahomes has a bye. So Derek Carr could be a 2 week of the next three play for you if you need the help at quarterback. So Josh, let's move on to running back. Who is your bargain bin RB this week?
Before moving on to running back, there's one interesting note with Carr's matchup that I like. The Colts have been getting killed out of the slot. They've been allowing the 8th most fantasy points this year to the slot receivers. Mm-hmm. And if we look at Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, Rashid Shaheed, they're actually really just, it's a committee effort in the slot. They all have between 120 to 160 routes run out of the slot. Nice. So it's clear that the Saints are making a concerted effort to get their best players in the slot. And that has been where the Colts rely on fantasy points. So that's just good in general for the Saints. So I was waffling between Howell and Carr. Went with Howell. You took Carr. Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, we hit both sides of the coin. Mr. Grapefruit, Rashid Shaheed week.
Possibly. Yeah.
Possibly. Or does Chris Olave follow suit with Jordan Addison? Just gets pulled over for speeding and then goes bonkers. We'll see. We'll see how it goes for Chris Olave.
My running back of the week. We're going to go with Roshan Johnson.
Yes.
I'm going to keep this short and sweet for everyone. I think sometimes a play is so good that you don't even have to like really dive in that much. You're just like, it's too obvious. What did we see with Tyson Bagent last week? His average depth of target throwing the ball was 2 yards. For context, out of qualified quarterbacks, Bryce Young is at 5.5 air yards. That is the lowest. Insert Mr. Bagent going for 2. Bagent targeted running backs on 34% of his pass attempts last week. The Chargers allow the most receiving yards per game to running backs. Roshan Johnson, the pass catching back, that is not what Deonta Foreman does well. Seems very simple, very straightforward. This is a matchups play. We are going to be playing Roshan Johnson confidently as a fantasy RB2 this week.
So having, you know, when you host a show, a fantasy football show, sometimes you got to be a little selfish. Sometimes you got to take advice from one of the best sitting with you today. I have a decision to make. Miles Sanders or Roshan Johnson in my home league. Who should I go with?
I would go with Roshan. I think the floor might be a little different with him just because I think we know Sanders is getting touches. There's always like a weird world where Foreman and Evans get the touches. But the fact that Roshan Johnson from the get-go was cutting into Khalil Herbert's workload and Deonta Foreman was being healthy scratched really makes me think that we'd have to see such a weirdly massive shift in the pecking order. So Roshan, he's been out a few weeks with a concussion, but positively, like he hasn't been taking contact. He's super fresh. It's not like he's been banged up at all. Foreman just had a massive workload last week. So I'd go Roshan, and my fantasy rankings reflect that. So
love it. Love it. Love that. And feel free to plug your rankings that we talked about, your trade chart, all that stuff. Feel free to let all the game planners know where they can get all that stuff. Because like I said, that's valuable information for everyone.
That is on the33rdteam.com. Free to view. So if you're paying for player profiler, keep doing that. You don't need to worry about, oh, do I need to commit to a second thing right now midseason? Nope. Get player profiler. I know you guys have like that nice sale on the all-in package for the second half of the season. Right, yeah. You can go get the all-in package and then you can check out my fantasy rankings, rest of season rankings, and trade value chart on the site.
Love it. And also use the promo code Maddie, get $10 off of the all-in package here at Player Profile. Roschon Johnson, it is. He's in my lap. I'm excited. Someone in our Discord asked me about what do I expect from Roschon? And it's hard to expect him to just be thrown in as the RB1. I expect a lot of Deontay Foreman, but what I do believe is that if he comes out hot, that he'll get the touches. And I think that's possible, because he's not coming back from a lower body injury. It's not an ankle. It's not soft tissue. It's a concussion, which he took 2 weeks off from. So he should be ready to go, ready to rock and roll. And if he shreds this, you know, Swiss cheese rush defense early, I think they use the hot hand. I think they go with Roschon and see what they got in the rookie back. So I love that call. And I'm going to play him on your recommendation for sure in my home league. The other running back that I'm going to bring up here is a little bit deeper, a little bit less obvious of a play, but Samaje Perine. You can get him in about 60% of ESPN sleeper leagues right now. 47 over under is one of the highest of the week. But right before we hit record, Josh and I were talking. He is dealing with some cold weather, I'd say, right now. Some snow you guys first got.
Denver had its first snow yesterday.
Right. So this is, I guess, going to be a weekend affair for everyone in Denver. And now there's the weather report is saying anywhere from lows of 13 in Denver and anywhere up from, I think it was like 6 to 10 inches of snow. Could be a crazy amount of snow. So I don't expect this to be maybe the blowout shootout that it could have been. But I think this is also favorable to a guy like Samaje Perine. And that's because they've just been throwing him the ball. He's not running the ball. So we're not expecting him to get a bunch of carries. He's been pretty effective in just the passing game, where he's, because he has a high yards per out run, he has a high target share. He's been effective in the target share, out of the pass game. And also, I looked at his home road splits. Just wanted to check it out. He's got 9 points per game at home, including 2 top 24 running back finishes. He's only averaging 3.8 points on the road. So he loves the home cooking. He's got a big offense coming into town in the Kansas City Chiefs. They seem unstoppable. It just seems like this guy, you might look at it and go, man, he's killing me here, Maddie. Why'd you ask me to play him? He has 2 points at half, and then he has 6 targets in the second half, and he finishes with 11.5 points. You're like, oh, all right. These are the running backs that we like in the bargain bin. Going deep for Samaje. And well, I like the Roschon call because he has 1 more week without Herbert. So he plays well this week. You might be looking at a lion's share Roschon Johnson in week 9. So this could be a bargain bin this week and a must start next week. Let's move over to the wide receiver position. Who do you got as your bargain bin wideout?
Tank Dell. Carolina is allowing 7.6 yards per pass attempt to quarterbacks this year. That's 6th highest. CJ Stroud's averaging 7.8 yards per pass attempt, 4th best. That feels like a little match made in heaven. There's no Robert Woods. He is out this week. Targets are going to get consolidated primarily to Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz. I think the only issue here, since there's always going to be some kind of issue if a guy's not on every single roster, ultimately, I think the Texans can run the ball against the Panthers. And that's kind of my one fear, is that Panthers allowing over 5 yards per carry to running backs, 2nd highest in the NFL. It's been ugly with Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary, but the Texans offensive line has been getting much healthier. Coming off the bye there, I think it'll be only the second game this year that both of their starting tackles on offense will be playing. So I'm optimistic for their run game. I'm optimistic for their pass game. And that's kind of like the one issue, is sometimes if a team can just beat another team in every single way, that they might just choose one and stick with it. But it does seem like coming off the bye with the 2nd overall pick, CJ Stroud, you're going to let him let it rip, get his confidence up after the bye. Not that his confidence is gone. He's obviously very confident with what he's done, but you want to make sure you can, it's almost like continuing that momentum after the bye.
Oh, for sure.
So I really think that he can put up 300 yards against them. And I think Tank Dell can give you 6 for 70, maybe a touchdown. And we like that in fantasy football.
And what we also like in fantasy football is these quarterbacks that want to compete. CJ Stroud has shown he wants to be a competitor in the NFL, and they're pitting up the number 2 versus the number 1 overall pick this weekend. So if you don't think he's going to come out of the bye with a little extra pep in the step, trying to knock off the 101, I'm with you, Josh. I think that this is a game that they let him sling. They let him chuck the rock. I love the Tank Dell call coming out of the bye. The reports coming from the coaching staff about this kid is true. I mean, they cannot talk highly enough about Tank Dell returning from that concussion. So I love the Tank Dell call. He's ranked wide receiver 48 right now at Player Profiler for week 8, but there's a few players right in this range that I'm just going to ask you real quick. We can go rapid fire. Tank Dell or Amari Cooper?
Oh, that's tough. I'd probably just go with Tank Dell. I think there's going to be more upside there. So I'm not sure what my rankings reflect. I'm sure they're pretty close. I'm going to do an update on those this afternoon. But yeah, top of my head, I know which one of these guys looks like he could score 20 points this week, and it would be Tank Dell.
And the next guys is Courtland Sutton, KJ Osborne, Deontay Johnson. Does Tank Dell outrank those three? Where does he fit in that group of three or group of four?
I would definitely start Deontay Johnson over him.
Okay.
Courtland Sutton, that's a good one. I might need to flip a coin for that. I think those are pretty similar players. I'm looking. I have Courtland Sutton, wide receiver 38 right now. I have Dell, wide receiver 43. So very, very similar to Sutton there. Yeah. But yeah, I think if you want some upside, you could just throw Dell in ahead of him. Yeah, I think Deontay's the only one that I would start. Deontay. I would definitely start him over Tank Dell.
Deal. I love that call. And also, we were talking about the weather, and we were talking about before the show how weather really affects bad quarterbacks more than it affects good quarterbacks. At least that's kind of how it feels when you're watching these games. Last time I checked, Josh, Pat Mahomes is really good. Russell Wilson, not so much. So if there is a lot of snow, it's going to affect the Denver passing game more than Kansas City passing game. And Courtland Sutton has been a beneficiary of kind of being a volume monster. He's kind of been the number one receiver for Russell Wilson. So that's a chance to sneak Tank Dell in if you were relying on Mr. Courtland Sutton. Maybe now you pivot to Tank Dell and don't worry about that weather. If you need to go deeper into the bargain bin, I got Brandon Powell at Green Bay. He's wide receiver 59, so he's down in the player profile rankings. He's widely available at pretty much everywhere. The matchup seems bad on paper. It's a pick'em game, a 41.5 over-under, so there's really nothing in that. That's a bottom half of the slate over-under, so there's nothing there that makes you go, ooh, shoot-up potential or comeback mode. But Green Bay has also been really good against opposing wide receivers, but that's mainly due to their outside corners. Rasul Douglas has been a monster in 2023, and they're getting one of the best cornerbacks in football back this week in Jair Alexander. But where they are weak is in the middle. It's that slot. Keyshawn Nixon is their slot corner, and he's not good this year. He just hasn't been good. He's cornerback 84 in my ranks this week, so I have him down by the bottom. With all the teams playing, there's a lot of cornerbacks are going to be on the field that are returning to the rankings, and it's driven his rankings even more down because he just has not done anything to truly deserve moving up. And Brandon Powell has been the slot guy. He's been running 60% of his routes out of the slot this year. He's got 9+ fantasy points in 2 of 3 matchups. He has 4 or more targets in the last 3 matchups, and he's got 1 red zone target in each of the last 3 contests. So Brandon Powell, if you're in desperation mode, you get 6 targets. Maybe they're good passes. You catch 6 for 60, 12 fantasy points. That's kind of what we need deep in the flex. So I'm going with Brandon Powell as my deep, deep bargain bin flex play or wide receiver. We got a question in the super chat from Steven Drakes. He needs some help. He needs 3. So he's got Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Deontay Johnson, Daryl Henderson. Also, you like Pierce this week. So he needs 3 of those 4. And then quick thoughts on Damian Pierce.
Yeah, I'll just do Pierce quickly. I think Pierce is fine. I think he's going to be efficient, as we talked about with this matchup against the Panthers. Probably a low-end fantasy RB2 type. I wouldn't get too excited, but I do think he's going to have much more of a workload than he did prior to the bye. I think he's going to be the lead back again ahead of Singletary. This group, I'm personally going to sit Deontay Johnson, and I'll explain why after being like, oh, I'd start 1-for-1, Deontay over Dell. Why are you backtracking? Well, if you're already starting Nico Collins, I think at this point we should just, a lot of people are like, you just have to always go upside in fantasy. And I think sometimes you can play a little safe and still get a lot of fantasy points. In this case, I really do think CJ Stroud's going to have a big day. I do think the Texans are going to be efficient through the air. I think Nico Collins is obviously the main guy, but you're getting such a nice target consolidation here with Collins and Dell. And if for some reason you start Collins and then like Dell gets the touchdown or whatever, you're kind of like, oh, like what should I have done there? I just think ultimately you're going to get a lot of yards and touchdowns. So I'd probably go them. And then it's Deontay or Hendo. I actually don't have a preference there. So maybe I'd go Hendo. I'm not sure. Do you have a preference there? Now I'm thinking about it. Like, I think I would just go with the battery of Texans receivers, and now the
I'm definitely going with the battery. I agree with you. I think when you're in for a penny, sometimes you should be in for a pound. And like you said, Nico Collins gets 10 targets, catches 8 of them, goes berserk, but Dell gets the touchdown. You're going to want it all. And I think this is one of the games where you could get it all. I think in my PPR formats, I would go with the 3 receivers. I like when I started Deontay Johnson and, you know, Henderson. He got over the double-digit fantasy points, but he had to score to get there. I like him But I'll ask you this. So I'm going to go with the three receivers. You're going Hendo and the Texans guys. But let me ask you this in a wide receiver sense. He's also asking about Pierce. We talked about Roschon. How would you rank Daryl Henderson, Damian Pierce, and Roschon Johnson this week?
That's a good one. Personally, I would go Roschon, Hen. I'd have Roschon first. I just really like this matchup. I think the team really likes him as well. Go Roschon. Let me look at my rankings. I think I have it Roschon. Yeah. So right now I have Roschon as my RB20, Pierce RB23, Hendo RB24. So it looks like I would go Pierce over Hendo by a little smidge. Yeah, and a lot of it's just because of the matchup. Since with running backs, it's very important to play matchup. Since we've seen, especially this year, like it's all over the place with how these defenses do against running backs. The good defenses versus the bad ones, it really makes a difference. And the Cowboys have been quite stingy to running backs this year, whereas the Panthers have been the complete opposite.
Yeah, good call. Love it. That's the breakdown. Steven Drakes, thanks for the super chat. I'm glad we could help you out there. Fantahorse 0, Deontay has 0 TD potential. It's coming. It's got to come. I mean, he looked so good out there. That whip route he ran last week against the Rams and took it for 30, 40 yards. He's scoring. You know what? My bold take this week, I'm going to go with it. Deontay Johnson scores a damn touchdown. Gets off the schneid after a year of zero touchdowns. Deontay scoring this week, baby. So now, Josh, we're going to move on to the tight ends. And tight end tends to be the most important of the bargain bin because you might not even be in a desperate situation, but you might be looking to start a different tight end every single week. So with the importance of streaming a tight end for fantasy football, let's dive into our bargain bin start week 8 tight ends. Who do you got?
This week, I will go with Trey McBride. Not really crazy about the matchup with the Ravens. It's the Ravens. They've been kind of the best defense in the NFL by a lot of metrics this year. I'm going to go with McBride purely as a bet on talent and a bet on the role that the tight end has had in this offense. So one thing that we always liked about Zach Ertz anytime he's played in Arizona is that for some reason they just target the absolute shit out of the guy. And you're like, oh, that's... Wow, Zach Ertz, like there's another like 6, 8, 10 target game from Zach Ertz. Yeah. And if we look per route this year, Trey McBride has the same target rate as Zach Ertz, but he has pretty much twice the yards per route run. McBride certifiably not washed, Ertz certifiably washed. If you're telling me that we're going to get probably the Zach Ertz role, but with a little more juice, a little more efficiency, then despite the hard matchup, I'm just going to do the bet on talent / role here. And go with their second round pick from last season and Trey McBride.
Trey McBride, it's only a matter of time. I mean, he was the first tight end off the board last year to the Arizona Cardinals. And there's, like you said, Zach Ertz. And it's funny. If you don't believe what he's saying, go look it up. It was like that again. It was like no one talked about Ertz. And then it was like, geez, there it is. 6 more targets. Yep. 10 more fantasy points. There it is. And now he's out. He's on the IR for the next 4 weeks, so it is going to be the Trey McBride show. The theme of today's show was go with the youth at tight end because I'm going with Michael Mayer this week. He's rostered in basically nothing on ESPN. He's only in 6.7% of leagues on ESPN, only 24% rostered on Sleeper. This is a matchup play for me. Detroit has been the most advantageous matchup for tight ends throughout basically all the metrics. They were truly missing Mr. CD Deuce, aka the artist formerly known as
an amazing name change.
CD Deuce. CD Deuce is out. You know, he's got that torn pec. He ain't coming back, and it's been affected. It's affected this defense. A defense that's been good has not been good defending the tight end for fantasy football. And Mayer continues to get more and more and more of that route, of those routes, of those snaps. Last week, he out-snapped Austin Hooper, I think it was 44-26. So that gap is widening. He is the tight end one. Remember, Josh McDaniels in his past has always had an offense that uses the tight end significantly. He traded up to get this kid in this year's NFL rookie draft. So the time is coming for Michael Mayer, just like the time is coming from Trey McBride. And when you look at the matchup here, Detroit, they're giving the Raiders more than a touchdown here. The Raiders are 8-point dogs on the road against the Detroit Lions. And it's a 46 over-under, which is one of the higher totals on the slate. So Vegas is predicting this game to have a little bit of offense. They're bad at defending the tight end. And since he's so available, give me the rookie Michael Mayer to be my bargain bin tight end of the week.
I like
Let's go. We're going young tight ends this week, Josh. CD Deuce. Shout out to you, CD Deuce. I mean, fantastic. CD Deuce. A name that will live in infamy that I will never say without smiling and laughing. So good on you, Mr. CD Deuce. I can't do it. But that's going to be today's show. If you need any more lineup advice, check out the Dominator, the lineup lockdown show. They've been doing it the last few weeks. Billy Muzio hosts the Dynasty Dominator. I mean, the Dominator show here on the Player Profiler Network. In the last few weeks, he's had Bradley Salderon. They've had lineup lockdowns. They're just helping us solidify our lineups as we go into Sunday. So make sure you're checking that out. And that's going to be today's episode. Josh, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with me on this Saturday. It was a great show. I always get excited to work with you. You guys are killing it over there in the 33rd team. So before we go, feel free to shout out everything that you're working on, where they can find you, where they can get all your content, all that good stuff.
First off, Maddie, thanks for having me. This was a great show. It's always fun just to talk a little shop, a little talk midday shop on a Saturday. You can find my work on the33rdteam.com, and the rest of the team's work is also on the33rdteam.com. So I would just say that go to the site, check out our fantasy betting content. I think we've got some pretty good stuff out there for the good people. It's free to view, so you can keep Player Profiler in the rotation and not have to worry financially. Check out our stuff, see what you think. That is all.
There it is. 33rdteam.com. Check it out. The guys are doing great work. The shows you guys are doing on betting and fantasy is awesome. You guys have had fantastic guests. If you people out there are more football fans, I mean, the interviews that happen on the 33rd team shows are fantastic. So check out the 33rd team. And make sure you're subscribing here at Player Profiler on YouTube. Check out everything we got going on at playerprofiler.com. Rest of season all in package, $85. And if you want to get 10 bucks off, use the promo code Maddie. Make sure you're liking this video. Get those likes up. Leave some comments. You got any lineup questions, trade questions, any type of questions, leave them in the comments. I'll make sure I get you there. And if I'm not seeing it there, if I didn't get you in time, hit me up in the Discord, playerprofiler.com/chat. You can find me there. You can find me on X or Twitter, whatever you call it now. At Maddie Kiwoom. If you just can't get enough of all the things that I've been doing right now, you can also go over to patreon.com/the executives with Cody Carpenter. Hit that up. Hurdle every Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Oh my God, I'm doing too much. But that is this week's episode of The Game Plan. Josh, again, thank you so much for hanging out. This was a great episode, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.